Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Yeah, you're welcome back. It's Richie here with you. Kev as well. The latest news this evening, the FAI asking Bray Wanderers to clarify its position following Friday's statement that suggested operating in the Premier Division wasn't viable. Chairman Dennis O'Connor has allowed the entire squad seek other clubs. The FAI say they'll continue to monitor the situation at the Carlisle Grounds and that discussions are ongoing with representatives of Bray. This one, unfortunately, is going to run while Sligo have contributed to Cork City's march towards the Premier Division title. Kieran Sadlier leaving the showgrounds for Turner's Cross today. The former West Ham playmaker, one of the standout players in the Premier Division this season, with 6 goals to his name. He's not available for the second leg of the Europa League qualifier with Livadia Tallinn on Thursday, but he is free to play against St Pat's next Sunday. Across channel, Everton have continued their summer spending with the signing of Michael Keane this evening from Burnley. The centre-half could cost an eventual £30 million, which would be a club record fee. He's the second arrival at Goodison Park today alone, following the signing from Malaga of Spanish striker Sandro Ramirez.
How good is Keane, Kev?
We were just talking about him. They were talking about him in comparison maybe to a Van Dijk signing. Play a different sort of way. You've got to understand, you're watching him at Burnley, very much a tight back for you. He'd be a similar sort of defender type player. You would look at someone like John Terry.
And he's a replacement of Jagielka, I kind of see. Is that fair?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, you look at him, Ashley Williams as well. He's a wrong side of 30 himself now as well. So you're getting someone with the potential to play for the next 8-10 years, I suppose, at Everton. But maybe with the same with Keane. Keane very much plays in a tight back four. He's got two fullbacks tucked in alongside him for majority of the game, so he doesn't get himself exposed. So if Everton, as they have been doing under Koeman, playing a different way, they are a little bit more exposed, a bit more expansive. We'll see how we can cope with that sort of that style of football, I suppose, as well. But it'll be a big change for him.
Mm. Day one of Wimbledon's finally delivered a shock. Daniel Medvedev has beaten the world number 3 and 5th seed at SW19 Stan Wawrinka 3-1. The Russian has proved victorious this evening. Men's top seed Andy Murray, he was earlier a straight sets victor over the Kazakh Alexander Bublik, while 4th seed Rafa Nadal lost just 6 games en route to a 3-set win over John Millman. It was just the 4 games that Kei Nishikori, the 9th seed, lost en route to round 2. Two times women's champion Petra Kvitova continued her comeback with a straight sets win over Johanna Larsson of Sweden today. 2nd seed Simona Halep and 4th seed Elena Svitolina also victorious today in straight sets. While it is half time at Porky Rin in the Electric Ireland Munster Minor Under 21 semi-final replay, this replay from earlier on in the week, and it is Cork who are firmly in control of this one, leading Tipperary that they were. I'll get you the score in a minute, but Cork cruising 2-10 to 11 points it was in the closing stages of that half, and 2-11 to 10 points is how it's finished up at half time at Porky Rin. So clear awaiting the winners of that one, and so far at least it looks like it will be Cork in the next round for them. And finally, Dan Martin narrowly missed out on victory in stage 3 of the Tour de France this afternoon. The Irish rider beaten in a sprint into Longwy by Peter Sagan, the world champion. Martin ultimately finished 3rd behind Sagan and Michael Matthews. Sky's Geraint Thomas maintains the leader's yellow jersey, Joe.
Okay, thanks very much for that. So, we're turning to Monday Night Rugby. The Lions Tour of New Zealand goes down to the final game against most people's expectations. They beat the All Blacks 24-21 in Wellington on Saturday. It's a first home test defeat for New Zealand since 2009. That's a 46-match run. A few welcome breaks for the Lions as well since. Sonny Bill Williams banned. Sean O'Brien cleared of any punishment after a 4-hour hearing yesterday. And the injury list, it seems very kind to Warren Gatland. All clear. So Eddie O'Sullivan and David Wallace are on the line. We're going to turn to the lads in just a second. But here's a sense of what Steve Hansen, Warren Gatland were saying. Warren Gatland, firstly, he referenced the ridicule he received from the New Zealand media and talked about how it helped the Lions on Saturday.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt the last couple of weeks in terms of the criticism and personal attacks has been, has been a little bit tough to take. Not so much for myself, because that's part of sport, but for family members and things. But ironically, the thing about Kiwis and New Zealand public, they're probably the most fairest people that you'd ever come across. And who has been doing that? They would have no idea how that's galvanised us as a group, and the amount of support that I've had from, and the team's had from Kiwis in terms of good luck tonight, going up the stairs to meet it on Tuesday, people shaking hands, saying well done, ex-All Blacks contacting me and saying I hope you do well. Some of the stuff that's been written in the press and the personal stuff is just completely over the top. So ironically, that's probably And there's a huge proportion of obviously Lions fans and Kiwis wanting us to do well because, you know, they think some of it's been a little bit unfair. But, you know, it's probably, you know, like I said last week, it's water off a duck's back to me. But it's actually been, ironically, a huge positive. So whoever's been doing that, please continue to do it because it's not working. It's actually probably been great for us.
There you go, Warren Gatland, understandably in very good form at full time on Saturday. David, it's hard to detach any analysis of this game from the fact that Sonny Bill Williams was sent off and New Zealand had to go for the guts of an hour at 14 men. But how good were the Lions?
Yeah, I thought they were very good. In fairness, at one stage there was that I suppose that creeping feeling in the second half, you know. But after 60 minutes, and it was a little bit like a dying animal. You felt that they could really get into the game, but just the amount of penalties was really killing them, and they didn't seem to be learning their lesson. And you just thought it was just going to be like a slowly dying animal, and it was horrible to watch. But then all of a sudden they just cracked into life, and you know, maybe that extra bit of time that Sexton and Farrell had together, you know, and it just, things started to click. A couple of changes out wide for the All Blacks. I think it was 14-on-14 at that stage, so they didn't have the extra man overlap, but they still managed to eventually break down that New Zealand defence and just about get hands away. Elliot Daly did very well. He was half through the gap and just managed to get the pass away to get the ball wide. And when they came back, you know, they had acres of space, which was great to see because, as I said, it was man on man at that stage. And you know, maybe the All Blacks had fatigued a bit, but you know, listening to Reid after the match, he was saying it wasn't tiredness. I think so. You got to say well done to the Lions and the way they stuck to their guns and eventually came away with that win, because for a while it looked like it was going all the wrong way, even though they were playing some very good rugby.
Reid and Gordon Darcy today in the Irish Times, Eddie, it's multifaceted when it comes to the reasons for a win, obviously, but he was saying key reason for him was the Lions forwards put the New Zealand forwards under far more pressure. They slowed down all ball going to Aaron Smith. So neutralising Smith at scrum half effectively was the key for him.
Well, I think that the All Blacks had a lot less options in attack when they were down to 14 men. Like, the slow ball is based on the fact that it's a chicken and an egg scenario. Like, if you looked at some of the sets in the second half where the Lions were dominant on defence, basically they were never going to be in trouble in the outside corners because, they had an extra defender on the field compared to the All Blacks attack. And that changes dynamics in the sense that they could get off the line a lot more aggressively. And once you win the collisions, then the All Blacks have to put more into the ruck to secure it. They're not winning rucks in 3 seconds, they're winning them in 6 seconds. And they're having to pour three people to clean out over the ball carrier instead of two. And they're, you know, it's that kind of momentum change that means that the All Blacks really couldn't break down the Lions. I mean, it's an awful difference defending with an extra defender, because you're not trading off really like you normally do with three in the backfield. So I think the dominance in defence, it was very good defence and they tackled very well, but life's a lot easier when you're doing that against 14 attackers. And once you start winning the collisions, then it's almost impossible to have to get momentum back again. And you saw a few times where the All Blacks did panic a little bit late in the game and they just kicked the ball away because it was just a wall of red in front of them. And I think that's a factor in it, you know. It is a big factor at the end of the day when you're defending. Now, to be fair, the Lions did get a try, as Dave referenced there, on a 14-on-14. But that just meant there was more space on the field, you know, when you instead of 15 against 15, there's more space. So that was a well-worked try. And I think just talking about where the Lions were successful in breaking down New Zealand with the two playmakers, I think it's fair to say that overall the Itoje selection worked really well, and two playmakers in Sexton and Farrell did work well. But it's untested on the other side of the equation is how they would have defended with Sonny Bill Williams on the field, because the All Blacks did make some leeway, you know, make some headway down that 10-12 channel when they went after it. And
caught a break in that they're not going to have to worry about Sonny Bill now. So when you say not tested with Sonny Bill, do you just mean the 15th man or him specifically?
Him specifically, okay. Running down that channel against the two boys. I mean, he caused problems last week for them when Sexton came on. And again, even late in the game, the All Blacks got some traction down that channel as well. I mean, just I know Sonny Bill won't be there, which isn't as powerful, but they will probably pick somebody to go in there and replicate that. If the Lions go with that first, second, 5-8 combination again, which I expect they will, you will see the All Blacks go after that channel for sure. I think you can say on the attacking side of the football, which I thought, and I agree with that, it would be a more fruitful combination in terms of moving the ball. Defensively, we don't know. I think that would be the interesting thing for next Saturday. If he goes with first and second 5-8s, as we expect, if the All Blacks will target that in attack. So they're the kind of things that are still, for me, are kind of unproven. But you can't take away from the Lions. They did a very good job. And as Dave said there, they were kind of drawing their last breaths and they found a way to score. And once they got that try, it just energised everybody. And you saw a different energy around the team. And you just felt the second one was coming. You know, the second try was coming at some point along the way. And, you know, there was a great obstruction on Parnara. I think someone held him by the ankle and he couldn't get away. He couldn't get into he couldn't get into the pillar position, and they pushed, and that was it. Conor Murray, who like doesn't need a second invitation on those ones, was straight through. Mm. He did the same in Chicago.
It was well played. No surprise. By Sexton there as well, actually, because he has this, I suppose, the thing they do sometimes the best, you know, where they hit the breakdown, but Sexton comes flying in and he actually goes past the ruck and he actually blocks Avea from coming around from the open side to try and make that tackle. So, you know, very cute, very little minor things, nothing illegal really, but just getting in the way and just knowing what it takes to I suppose win those games and those fine margins that you get in those areas when you get the chance that. You know, guys like Sexton would know what to do to maybe just have that little half second extra on the break.
David, those two tries don't happen without Sexton and Farrell both on the pitch. But as Eddie has outlined, a lot of things really worked in the Lions' favour, not least Sonny Bill's dismissal to really allow Sexton and Farrell work a bit of magic. I've seen the question posed then, is Gatland really, really good or just really, really lucky? Because it was such a brave thing to drop Teo, but it couldn't have worked out better.
Yeah, no, I would have been the first one to say I thought it was a mistake. I thought Teo, right, he messed up on one pass that maybe should have gone wide, where he stepped back inside in the first test and slipped. But I thought that the second Farrell didn't really click in that first test, and I was worried that, you know, Sonny Bill Williams was going to have a bit of a field day. We didn't really get to see that, obviously. But from what the evidence is all we can go on what actually happened, and it worked out very well, and obviously that was... That key partnership there really made the difference at the end of the day in you know, cutting up the All Blacks. And they were very clever about how they did it as well. You know, the ball either went back to Farrell quite a lot, or, you know, had Sexton gone around on the loop play, which is one of his favorites. And the All Blacks, you know, would have seen this a lot and were ready for it and were coming out of the line and judging it quite well. But Lemapi, when he came on, or he was on, he jumped the gun a little bit too soon. He didn't let the play unfold on him. And fairness to Jamie George, I mean, he ran a beautiful line. His timing and his angle and everything was excellent. And, you know, they really cut them apart. And I think, you know, for a second there, you were just expecting that ball to go out and you know, to see that line break. And to be fair to the Lions, you know, all right, All Blacks were a man down, but they had more line. I think it was 6-1 on the line breaks. And in fact, you know, the All Blacks were very much kind of, you know, just hitting it up and all right, playing a man down. Maybe they should have played their strengths a bit more, but they didn't get any of those, you know, offloads or line breaks or anything, or even, you know, nearly punished the Lions. So you got to say, look, well worked plays, and you think, yeah, maybe Gatland, you know, look, he's living and breathing it in camp, and he's seen them in training, so maybe he's a better idea of what's going on in the real world.
There was a moment, Eddie, where Jerome Garces asked his touch officials if they agreed with him that it was a red card for Sonny Bill Williams, and they seemed to not say very much back, to be honest. Look at their feet almost. And even the TMO then said to Garces, maybe you should have another look at it, which is code word for I think you've got this wrong as well.
Jacko Piper was the first guy who kind of threw cold water, because Garces looked at it and his first reaction was, I'm going red. And Piper said, maybe take another look at it. Now, that might sound like, you know, Piper was trying to get him to chicken out of it. I would see it differently. Everyone in the stadium knew this is a monstrous call. This is like a game-changing call. And I think, to be fair to Williams, it was an accident. I don't think Williams went in to do him. He just went in and caught him. No, he caught him. It was a red card. There's no way to describe it as a red card. End of discussion. But at that moment, I think Piper was just saying to him, just take another look to be sure, which I think is no harm. I think Piper was trying to look out for him and just say, take another look. And then when they did, they came to the right decision. So I think it's no harm when you're making a decision that's that big and it's going to have that much of an influence, and you have the luxury of looking at it two or three times. I think it's no harm to do it, and they came to the right decision. And I think in the heat of the moment, I think that was the right thing to do, was to take a step back and make doubly sure they were doing the right thing. So I think they managed it well, and I think, to be fair, I mean, I don't have a huge amount of confidence in the French referees in those big pressure situations. You know, I think the international rugby is a challenge for them because top 14 is very different, and they manage top 14 differently than they do actually manage international games, and they make adjustments. I think, you know, it was well managed, and I think he did a good job. The funny thing was, I thought there might be more blowback on the final penalty, which won the test. The tackle on Kyle Sinclair, you know, that's an anomaly in the law, like, when you think about it, because it wasn't a high ball that was kicked to him. It was a pass. It was a bad pass over his head, and he jumped to catch it. And Kieran Reid said to the referee, you know, why is it a penalty? He said, because he played the player on the air, so he said, the next time I'm catching a pass, if I jump, nobody can tackle me. And that's an anomaly now that it's going, like, because think about it, if you think you're going to get hit as you get the ball, you're just going to jump when you're catching it and the guy can't touch it. That was never the intention of the player being tackled in the air. It was all about the high ball. And in essence, unless they change the law, if you jump out of a tackle, it's a penalty against the person that jumps out of the tackle. So yeah. I thought there might be more discussion on that. I thought it was a funny... It was one of those ones that when you saw it, you go, yeah, he's going to give a penalty here. But then you go... You know, what was the defender to do? Get out of the way and let him run through, you know? It was a weird one. And it does raise a question about that now, I think. I thought it was, there might be more talk about that this week, you know? Maybe there will be yet, I don't know.
Yeah. To be fair to Sinclair, as you say, he wasn't jumping out of the tackle. He was trying to jump for a ball that was a bit high. So, it is. I definitely agree with Eddie there. It's a tricky one, you know? Where does that end? Do teams start using that law, you know, against defences and you know, making a bit of a mockery out of it. So it's probably something we'll have to look at.
Dave, sorry to cut across, you've already seen players who field in the high ball, which is like the whole, you know, contact in the air laws around. And some players are now bending their knees on the way down to the ground to stay in the air longer if they think they're going to get hit. So you're beginning to see players milk that a little bit. You know, not getting to ground as early as they can, just saying, if I bend my knees here and I'm in the air an instant longer, and if a guy hits me, it's a penalty, maybe a yellow card. And I think the problem with that regulation on the tackle, or the law on the tackle, is that you could do the same thing, you know. So it's a funny one, but anyway, it doesn't seem, it may raise his head yet, but I thought it was when you consider the consequence of the penalty, was basically, you know, it changes the game. It's a win instead of a draw, you know. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, the Lions are taking a few days break now in Queenstown, and the All Blacks, as you can imagine, are gone straight back into training, where presumably they're lashing each other. And even Retallick said there's going to be a bit of an edge in the third test, which is probably one of the great understatements. What changes for the Lions, David? I mean, you would think for a start, Makavunipola, with his four penalties alone, has almost played himself out of the side, because it was ludicrous at one point. Does everything else pretty much stay the same for the Lions?
It'd be very hard to make changes. I know obviously Vunipola has, you know, had the discipline issues, and if he does get the nod, I mean, he would have been versed no end to, during the week, to, you know, one false move, and you do play, you know, you're coming off, especially with a prop, you know, if there's an injury, you know, you can bring another prop back on. But the I think for this week, you know, with discipline, is just going to be rammed down. I think that the Lions' throats, they nearly lost the second test on the back of it, one, you know, that they probably should have won. Regardless of you know, maybe the last 20 minutes, if their discipline had been spot on, they should have been ahead at that stage. Mm-hmm. I think. So I think this week going into it, I think they need to do an awful lot. It's rest up and just kind of get their discipline right. And it's something we see with Ireland. You know, Joe Smith is really, really hot on, and it does give you such an edge. I mean, we saw it the last day that the All Blacks were just got back into the game every time that, you know, that the Lions were getting the front foot, then, you know, there'd be a penalty given away, or there'd be 3 points, and it just kept the scoreboard ticking over for them. He just kind of wanted to grab them and say, look, just you know, I don't know, is it a leadership thing or what, or is it coaching, but they do need to sort that out. It has been a bit of an issue throughout the tour.
Yeah.
18-9
down at that point. And that's with Barrett missing three penalties as well,
yeah,
you know, which is a
exactly,
gift.
Exactly, yeah.
But other changes you're not so sure at this stage?
I don't think so. I mean, I'd be very happy with, I think, the way things went at the weekend, and I'd keep it the same. And you look, I think also going into this game that the Lions have that momentum now from that win and coming back from the jaws of defeat, and for the All Blacks, it's very much kind of, you know, they're a bit shaky. I think, you know, they've lost Ryan Crotty, Sonny Bill Williams, Ben Smith,
yeah,
three massive players in their back line,
yeah,
and then Barrett missing all those kicks. You know, there's a little bit of an air of panic and momentum now swinging towards the line, so they just really need to try and, you know, keep that momentum going from the off, and that forward display, that physical display they brought in that second test, you know, totally counter to what they probably showed in the first test. You know, they need to come back with that and more again, probably because the All Blacks will, as we just said, will be coming back with kind of maybe a similar response than the Lions had in the second test.
Yeah, it's hard to know, Eddie, if the All Blacks will be somewhat rattled, and obviously they're missing the three players David mentions, and maybe there's some kind of confidence issue. It seems unlikely. I mean, you look at it and you just think, back at Eden Park, obviously, which, I mean, I'm curious to get your thoughts on why Eden Park is such a fortress for them. Back at Eden Park, angry as hell, and you just think this is close again to Mission Impossible for the Lions.
We have to keep 15 guys in the field, but I'm sure they will. Having said that, they have a few headaches in the selection. You know, they are missing some backs, and they are trying to find a midfield combination. They've got to try and keep Bowden Barrett and first receiver as well for the whole game, where they take a lot better with them there. They're talking maybe that maybe Fekitoa might come into the midfield, but all those disruptions in the midfield, it's hard for them to build kind of those units that play well off each other. So that's a bit of a worry for them, is what's their best midfield. Barrett's, you know, poor place kicking record. He isn't a top class place kicker, you know. He's not an 85% or even on his good runs. And like, the pressure on him next Saturday will be colossal. So, you know, they'll worry about that. Because if it's a tight game, I mean, let's be honest, if they had a kicker on Saturday that won the test, you know, I mean, Barrett missed some kicks that would have made all the difference. So the kicking thing is an issue for them. The midfield selection is an issue. Other than that, I think they'll be hoping for dry weather, because I think they want to cut loose and play. You know, there was a fair bit of wet weather in the first test, but last Saturday night was a monsoon, really, for the first half anyway, and both sides really couldn't play with the ball. I think they're looking now for dry conditions. So if they get dry conditions, they get their midfield right, and Barnard finds his kicking boots and they can keep him at first receiver, I think they'll take some beating. And I think, look, this is what it all comes down to. We're all hoping when it comes down to this. We don't really mind how the Lions got there, but they've got there now, and there is a lot of pressure on New Zealand now. The pressure swings away from the Lions. The expectation is now that there's no escape here for the All Blacks. They were hoping to go into the third test, like, you know, looking for the blackout, you know, but that's not on the cards now. So that brings extra pressure on them, and they're going to be forensically examined by people in New Zealand. Like, nobody else can criticise them, but their own people will criticise them harshly. So there's savage pressure on them. So that makes a difference, because pressure does tell. And if for some reason next weekend the Lions can get their nose ahead at some point, then it there could be close to the panic button there, because this will be historic for both teams, you know, not just the Lions if they win, but the All Blacks if they lose. And it would undo a lot of the good that they feel they've created around their brand, you know. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, lads, brilliant stuff. We'll leave it there. Thanks a million. Eddie O'Sullivan and David Wallace with their thoughts ahead of the third test in Eden Park this Saturday. Short break, and then we're looking back on the weekend's football. James Horan and Anthony Moyles are here.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.